You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to a blustery Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon. Scott Unash with you from the Circus Sports Iowa studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Mark Dukes joining me from a heated back porch on the southwest side. Got a good show for you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us. We'll have our off-the-glass basketball segment. We'll talk about what happened yesterday at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Take a look at the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Mo Valley, the national landscape in college basketball. We will do that with Kevin coming up here in just a little bit. Also, we got Thursday Night Football coming up tonight and a whole lot more. Love to have you interact with us today on this blustery Thursday. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, give us a call. A lot of people off of work today due to the holiday and or the snow and the weather and the wind, et cetera, et cetera. You want to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you at 319-366-1600. And, of course, a Bowling Night in America wrap-up from a lovely Wednesday on the lanes. Coming your way on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, as well as the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Mark joining me today, and you're home today. Your guy hasn't gotten there yet. I bet he's busy today, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, he's kind of waiting for the wind to die down. And, you know, worst came to worst, I probably could have made it into the studio, but why? I love Skype. Skype is great. I never thought I'd say that.
Well, let's... Do you have something to knock on there?
I do indeed.
Well, you might give it a rap or two. Just to be on the safe side. We don't want to anger any of the gods out there. We don't want to do that. So, yeah, give it a rap or two on there. Yeah, we will make it through. Hopefully everybody is making their way through the weather event that is going on right now. And that's what we call it now in 2022 and 2023 now, Mark. It's a weather event, correct?
Yeah.
Used to be, you know, other things, just weather. Now it's an event. We've got the blizzard warning. The winds are starting to pick up. Taking a look outside right now and on the way in today. Town, okay. You know, take it easy. You're going to be all right. You get in, even in town, you get into some of the areas where it is open. Or if you are on the S-curve, I-380 going southbound or northbound in downtown Cedar Rapids, you go across the Cedar and, boy, it hits you right there. And a couple other spots. Rural areas right now is where it's really starting to get kind of icky out there. So you don't have to go anywhere. Best advice is to probably hunker down and then listen to us, all the local programming and what we have to offer here on KGYM. Just from the National Weather Service, by the way, the blizzard warning remains in effect. It will start actually at 6 o'clock tonight. We're in the waning moments of the winter storm warning that goes until 6 o'clock tonight. The blizzard warning will start at 6 o'clock this evening. We'll go until early Saturday morning. We've gotten our snow, but now we're going to get the winds moving in, and the winds actually might be worse. Snow wasn't too bad, Mark. I think we got about 3-4 inches. I know at our place, and I think that's been kind of the common number around eastern Iowa anyway.
Better than 8 or 10, that's for sure. But, yeah, beware of the winds. And stay tuned to local programming here. If you have to venture out, be safe. It's our best advice.
There you go. Or just don't go. Just don't go. Wait for your guy to come and help you out. By the way, if you were taking bets out there, I've had the lovely brand-new snowblower for the – this is the third winter now. I am now a perfect 3 of 3, Mark, without the snowblower starting for the first snowfall of the year.
You need a guy.
Well, it start. I mean, I follow everything to the letter for off-season maintenance and taking care of the machinery. And then you get to the first one, and it doesn't start.
And your wife and kids are very appreciative of that, right?
No. I think they were being very kind to me today. I wasn't in the best of moods when I asked them to come out and help shuffle.
But yeah, and the other room was saying, why can't Dad figure this out?
Well, you know what the funny thing is the next time I go to start the stupid thing, it will start on the first pull. It always does. So I don't know. It's just a thing. But if you have snowblower advice out there for me, yeah, let me know.
319. Can you plug it in? Is it a model you can plug in?
Yes, and that does not work as well. There you go. 319-366-1600. Ryan and Walford, we are going to talk about what happened at Carver yesterday. We're going to get Kevin Lehman's thoughts about it as well. And a good place to transition to, Mark, and start with at 12 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. By the way, we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Big thanks to everybody and happy holidays to the folks at DuPaco Community Credit Union. They are the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour each and every day. And, of course, you can learn how to boost your financial well-being by going to their website at DuPaco.com. Iowa falling yesterday and falling hard, had a double-digit lead early, and then the bottom fell out against the Panthers of Eastern Illinois of the Ohio Valley Conference as Iowa goes down to defeat 92-83, giving up 55 in the second half. Not only that, but just numerous easy buckets and dunks. Eastern Illinois came off the bench with 3 double-figure scores. The bench had 54 points for Eastern Illinois. And if you were wondering, as we talked yesterday with, was that Tom Caker yesterday, correct?
Yeah.
Tom had to look on Ken Palm at the very bottom. They were like 350 in the Ken Palm rankings yesterday. Obviously, without Connor McCaffrey, without Chris Murray, Iowa shorthanded. But, oy, that was 8 steps backwards as far as the defense is concerned in Iowa City yesterday, Mark.
Well, it's really inexplicable to me, even despite the fact that Murray and McCaffrey were missing. You would think Iowa would be equipped to maybe not win by 30 as the line was, but at least pull this thing out. Led by 14 at one point and then just didn't play defense, didn't make shots, kind of walked through the rest of the game. And this is going to come back to haunt them. We'll see how badly when we talk to Kevin Lehman. But Eastern Illinois had not beaten a Big Ten in 35 years, Scott.
Eastern Illinois had only beaten, they had 3 victories. They had 1 over a Division I team, and that was IUPUI, which is a bad, really bad outfit this year.
They got beat badly by Illinois and Ohio State.
Correct.
By 30 and 20 points, respectively, or thereabouts. It doesn't beat Power 5 teams. It's only the second win for Eastern over a Power 5 team since 1987, got beat horribly in the paint, 52-38. Iowa gave up like a dozen dunks. It was just, if you were there, how bad was it? 319-366-1600.
And I from what Mike Halas wrote and commented upon, crowd was not horrible. About 5,000 or so interspersed around Carver Hawkeye Arena. And probably with their jaws scraping on the seats. and on the cement as they watched Eastern Illinois take care of Iowa yesterday. And this is not a entirely a rarity. Looked it up, Mark. The last loss at home by Iowa to what you would call a lower conference team, if you will. You got to go back to 2016. Not that long ago, actually. If you remember correctly, Iowa fell at home to Nebraska-Omaha. Then Nebraska-Omaha. Now just Omaha. The Mavericks beating Iowa, I believe it was in 98-89, back in the 16-17 season when Iowa went to the NIT eventually that particular year for Fran McCaffrey. And so it's not unprecedented. It does not happen very often. I guess the good news is the fact that the game was moved up. The game was not on television unless you have Big Ten Plus, and not a lot of people around the country with the snowstorm moving in and with the holiday season took real big notice. Although last night at bowling, watching Michigan and North Carolina play a really good basketball game, of course, the first story in the halftime report was about Iowa and Eastern Illinois.
Yeah, not surprisingly, and this is why they play the game. This is sports. We talked about the wild weekend in the NFL last weekend. In college basketball, we've seen upsets throughout the years, i.e. Chaminade, et cetera. But this is not a loss that Iowa can afford to absorb, even though, you know, maybe those injuries will be taken into account when postseason bids. I mean, at this point, who's talking about a postseason bid for Iowa when you lose to Kevin Duckworth's alma mater?
Yes, thank you, Kevin Lehman, for that. The former Portland Trailblazer, Kevin Duckworth, not in uniform last night, but, you know, got a good coach, though, with Simmons, former Evansville coach, and hopefully he can turn things around with Eastern Illinois and the Ohio Valley. They've been down as far as basketball in a big, big way. But, yes, you're going to see. Now, if Iowa turns this around, somehow takes care of business in the Big Ten, ends up top five in the Big Ten, no, this is not going to matter. Iowa will get into the NCAA tournament. But if Iowa is, say, 7-8-9, Mark, in the Big Ten, you're going to see the words Eastern Illinois a whole lot in late February and early March when it comes to Iowa televised basketball, because their resume is going to be shown, and that thing is going to be in big, bold letters next to the word bad losses.
Cajun Troy and Ryan and Walford on the text line pointing to Iowa's defeat at the hands of Augustana.
That was a preseason game, though. That was an exhibition game.
It was a loss.
It was a loss, but it did not count.
Yeah.
It did not count. These are games that count. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. By the way, Syracuse won a national championship and lost to it might have been a D3 or an NAIA school that's located in Syracuse as well. Been a few years ago, but the Orange went on to win the national championship that year. So these things happen. You don't see these big upsets happen in football. I mean, it's rare. I mean, this is even more, do I say, Mark, than an Appy State beating Michigan all those years ago on the first game of the Big Ten Network. I mean, this is like, oh boy, this would be like what? This would be like the lowest 1AA team beating Iowa or Iowa State in football. Correct?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time making a comparison. It is much less high profile than you know, the Appy State Michigan game or some of those others, I would bet much of the country doesn't even know about Eastern Illinois beating Iowa. Basketball fans do. And Iowa goes into the Christmas break, short as it is, probably in a reflective mood. Iowa resumes play at Nebraska December 29th, and that won't be, hey, after this one, nothing's a cupcake the rest of the year.
No, and that is not going to be easy. Nebraska taking Purdue, number one Purdue, to overtime in Lincoln in the that early sliver of Big Ten play. So you can't take anything for granted. Now, Iowa should have Connor McCaffrey back. Probably, I think it's 60-40 that Chris Murray is going to be back, but we shall see. I think they held him out so he could come back and play. As far as Nebraska, the Nebraska game, followed by the Penn State game concerned, both on the road. If you're Iowa, I think you're looking, you'd love to win too, but boy, you got to get a split at least in those two games, right? After losing to Wisconsin at home to start the Big Ten season back a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so. At this point, you just need a win after this loss yesterday afternoon. And, you know, we can take into consideration the circumstances, the injuries, right before Christmas. The game time gets moved. But Eastern Illinois was in the same boat. So you can't go down that road.
No, you can't. And you still got to beat Eastern Illinois at home. And probably 49 out of 50 times, Iowa does. Or whomever. But that was the one time out of 50 that it did not happen. 319-366-1600. We'll get you to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for you coming up here in just a little bit. Some news in the National Football League. Of course, we have NFL football coming your way tonight. 6:30 in all the frequencies here on KGYM, as it will be interesting game in the AFC. The Jacksonville Jaguars go to MetLife to take on the New York Jets. And the big story is the fact that that is the leading edge of this entire storm. Now, it's warmer in the New York metropolitan area, so they are actually looking at big-time rain in the game at the Meadowlands for the Jets and the Jags. And big game. The Jets need a win to stay in the playoff hunt in the AFC. Jacksonville is fighting with Tennessee right now for first place in the AFC South with their 6-8 record. And they've been playing good football as of late with Trevor Lawrence and company. Of course, knocking off the Dallas Cowboys down at Jacksonville last week. So I'm looking forward to that game coming up tonight. I think it's going to be a beauty.
Yeah, and this weather system is going to have an impact on a lot of games. I think about the game at Soldier Field, the Bears entertaining the Bills, maybe even in Kansas City.
Yes.
Kansas City's at home. New Orleans at Cleveland. You know, pick your game. I'm not sure my models are not on the computer right now as to where this thing is going to hit and when, but I think the weather's going to have a lot of impact. Remember, most of the games are on Saturday this week.
Correct.
We'll have some.
Yeah, we got a couple games on Saturday. We got a triple header on Sunday for you on Christmas Day of NFL games right here on KGYM. Speaking of the NFL, they made news today, and it was not the fake uniforms put out by the Broncos and the Rams that they they put out on their various social networking accounts that they were going to wear. By the way, did you see those? They were like Christmas sweater jerseys. That may be the only way to get people interested in the Rams and the Broncos over the weekend, but I reiterate here, I thought it was a pretty good prank right there, but this is not a prank. NFL Sunday Ticket moving from, NFL Network to YouTube TV and Google next year, Mark. So big changes and another notch and another box checked as far as, I guess the platforms that are not associated with Fox, CBS, NBC, and ABC over-the-air football and over-the-air sports, broadcast sports, if you will, with all the major networks. Big win today, I guess, for Google and YouTube.
Yeah, as I understand, it's an add-on package to YouTube TV, which some have, some don't. But by the next year, you're going to have to, if you want to get a bunch of games, you're going to have to prepare. And I don't pretend to know all that's involved in signing up for these sort of things, but you're going to have to pay attention. It's going to be different.
It's going to be different. As I told my wife, we'll ask our son about it when he comes for Christmas.
Good idea.
And he will let us know exactly what we need to do coming up in 2023. That's my best advice to you out there. I know nothing about starting snowblowers, but by gum, I know how to deal with this. 319-366-1600. Mark, I'm going to throw it to you. Get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, there across from Lindale Mall, next to the Home Depot. And, of course, happy holidays to Jamie and Chris and Dave, the entire gang over there at Emil's Hideaway. They're terrific friends of ours, terrific sponsor. They're open at 4 o'clock each and every day. Please eat local. Try their burgers and fries that are made fresh daily and wet your whistle with drinks from their fully stocked bar and bring the whole family for friendly service in the dining area. What do we got on the scoreboard today?
Yeah, well, as far as Emil's goes, like many establishments, the folks out there decided to close for the day and they will reopen tomorrow. Make note of that. Out of the Iowa football camp, Sam Laporta revealed he had a torn meniscus. And that was the reason he missed the Nebraska game. He had it scoped, and the tight end is hopeful, very hopeful, of playing in the Music City Bowl. Also, Riley Moss says his fellow defensive back mate Xavier Wampa has been working at free safety a bit. So we may see Wampa in several different spots in the bowl game. Finally, in the NFL, the Pro Bowl rosters are out, such as they are. Of course, there'll be no game, but the rosters are out. Philadelphia leads the way with 8 selections. Dallas and Kansas City with 7 apiece. Former Iowa Hawkeyes T.J. Hockenson, Tristan Wirfs, and George Kittle all made the Pro Bowl rosters. 2 teams did not have a selection, Scott.
I know one of them.
The Jaguars and the Bears.
Yeah, come on. It should be like baseball. Give everybody a chance. Get at least one. There's no game. It doesn't mean anything. Let Justin Fields call himself an all-pro, right?
And who are you going to kick out? Cousins?
I don't know.
Hurts?
Who would you have?
Rodgers?
Who would you have? As far, which Bear would deserve to be an All-Pro?
Oh, that was my answer, Scott. Oh, I think Fields, without a doubt.
Yeah.
He has over 1,000 yards rushing. He's had a really nice year, despite being shorthanded. But very few others are deserving, I think.
All right. We're going to take a break, come back, and Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us, and we will discuss college basketball. We'll look one more time at what happened yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena and how that's going to impact Iowa down the road. And we'll talk about it with the coach when we return. It's our Off the Glass segment coming up next right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And blizzard conditions will be possible as the winds pick up and we'll have blowing, drifting, and potential whiteout conditions at times as we'll have this powdery snow getting blown around. We are going to have the worst of those conditions in rural and open areas. And this will be the case tonight into tomorrow and early Saturday. So if you can stay off the roads, then do so. If you have to go out, make sure you're taking it slow. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Love is about tomorrow, a promise of growing together through time. The Dickens family understands that. It's why, at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, though every proposal is special, there's still something extra special about a holiday engagement. Maybe you plan to present that dazzler down on one knee. Perhaps it'll wait silently in a stocking. Or maybe you've made intricate plans no one could even guess. No matter how you plan to pop the question this season, Hertine and Stocker will help you find the perfect ring to suit that very special hand you're asking for. Love is in the details, which is why Hertine and Stocker offers so many ring choices, from the most affordable to all-out bling. They also offer financing and their signature free layaway. So, stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and find the perfect ring with help from Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Having a real Christmas tree is the best.
Right? But how do we get rid of it?
Oh, that's easy.
It is?
Uh-huh. Just make sure all the stuff's taken off, you know, wires, tinsel, decorations, and your tree can't have any of that fake snow spray on it.
Got it.
Then just set your tree in your regular collection location, or cut it to fit in your Yardie cart and make sure the lid is fully closed for collection.
That's it?
Yep. The City of Cedar Rapids will be collecting trees January 3rd through January 28th.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from CR News Now.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Sign up for text alerts now at crnewsnow.com.
Tackle tough jobs with Metabo power tools and accessories from Menards. Metabo packs the performance and features you need to get the job done right. That's why Metabo is the choice of pros. Find the right tool with our huge selection of Metabo nailers, saws, drills, drivers, bits, and blades. Save big money on Metabo now at Menards. Plus, a Menards gift card always makes for a great gift idea.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
And we welcome you back on this Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Don't forget, the weather turning frightful. Blizzard warning in effect starting tonight at 6 o'clock. We're still under a winter storm warning, technically, until 6 o'clock, but the snow has moved through. Now it's going to be the blowing thereof. Of the snow, as well as the temperatures. Today might be the worst as far as the temperatures are concerned, but the blizzard conditions, the wind is going to really redouble tonight, overnight, and through the day on Friday, and into the overnight hours Friday into Saturday. So keep that in mind. If you don't need to travel, please don't travel out there. 319-366-1600. Mark Roquan Smith, he's not a Bear, but does he count as a Bear All-Pro?
Excuse me?
Does Roquan Smith still count as a Bear All-Pro?
No. No. Bears traded him.
See, that's what Matt in Cedar Rapids was asking on the text line. Does that count as
I
a Bear?
He played part of the year in Chicago, right?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, all right, we'll claim him.
There you go. We go from talking NFL and Pro Bowls to basketball. It's our weekly off-the-glass segment with Coach Kevin Lehman, kind enough to join us on each and every Thursday right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Happy holidays, Kevin. And as a coach, you've been through what Fran McCaffrey and his staff went through yesterday before. But, boy, that was ugly.
I don't know if I ever had a team that was favored by 31 and lost, but I've had teams that were favored and lost, and that certainly was not the Christmas presents. That was a piece of coal in your stocking from Eastern Illinois. And as I said, text you, no Kevin Duckworth for Eastern Illinois Panthers.
No. Yeah, they were impressive back in the day when Kevin Duckworth was there, but defense broke down, dunk after dunk for Eastern Illinois, 55 points in the second half. They shot the ball well. Iowa was shorthanded, and that's a story.
Yeah, it's amazing. You got Ulysses and McCaffrey combined 0 for 14 from three, but you still think you could muster enough playing at home to beat a team that was, what, 350-something in the net rankings is what Eastern Illinois was?
Yep.
But that's why I don't bet in Vegas, guys. Games like this.
Don't blame me.
Where do you place the blame on this one, Kevin? Or is that a road you don't want to go down?
Well, you know, the first thing people say, well, you don't have Chris Murray, you don't have Connor McCaffrey, but you got other scholarship guys that got to step up and play. So, you know, the defense was horrible, and I thought they'd been playing better defensively this season. And, you know, I thought last season was a fairly good defensive team. That just shocked me because this is a Eastern Illinois team that shot 72% in the second half. And as Scott alluded to, you know, it wasn't on TV. I was doing the Northern Iowa game, so I'm just taking bits and pieces. I pulled out the box and the whole line score. They were getting dunked on. So one-on-one, guard your man, own your yard. It didn't happen for the Hawkeyes.
Well, that and the fact that DeFran McCaffrey talked about after the a ball game, he thought Iowa was too selfish, too much one-on-one. The assist total was way down yesterday, and you give Eastern Illinois, I think, some credit for that as far as the defense is concerned. But once Iowa got behind, I think the one-on-one mentality kind of kicked in.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, and I think the absence of Connor McCaffrey, who's really your leader, probably helped ignite that. He's not there. He might have straightened those things out because you're playing against a team that you think is an inferior opponent. They had just, you know, had an easy win right before that against another team out of that league, Southeast Missouri State, which is in the same league, and probably thought, hey, we're going to walk through this. But, you know, Eastern, and I did this study, guys, when I was at Omaha. The teams at home before Christmas break, they lose more than you think. And we figured out it was because my players were coming to the arena with their cars packed, ready to go home as soon as that game was over. The away team, I always said, had an advantage right before Christmas because they got to go back usually with the team or some other way before they depart for Christmas. So that's a little bit of a factor, too. I know it doesn't sound like much, but that plays into it. Mentally, it's more, you know, mentally, hey, you already started break. At halftime in this game, they started Christmas break. They didn't wait till the game was over.
A pretty good win for you and I, and it's a guy that you really like, Titan Anderson, coming through for the Panthers.
I tell you what, Mark, this team's playing better and better. You know, not as talented as last year, obviously, but I told Coach Jake this at shoot-around. They were 4-7 at this time last year after 11 games. They were 4-7 before they played St. Bonaventure. Last year, they went on and won the regular season title. This team doesn't have that talent, but it's kind of the way Jake does it. They kind of start slow, and this will be a pretty good team by the time they get to February. And I was impressed. They got, you know, the big two in Anderson and Bowen Bourne. Now, young guys are starting to figure it out. Duax's playing better. Trey Campbell's really talented. But the biggest factor for Northern Iowa is they're now getting production from the five spot. Cole Henry had a bad ankle. He had a huge game in Chicago against the team they beat in there, where he had, I think, six assists in that game. So he's becoming a real factor. He had six assists last night along with seven rebounds. And with Beth knocking in a couple threes, they're getting the same production, finally, from that five spot, Mark, as they would have gotten if Austin Fife was healthy.
And should get Heisey back, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. Shouldn't miss too much more time, and that's going to help.
They think he's going to play Wednesday against Missouri State. The cast is off. He had a little brace on the finger is all that I saw when I talked to him yesterday. So I think that's the plan, that he may see some action on Wednesday. And that's going to help that team tremendously just because of the maturity standpoint that he's going to bring to that team.
Yeah, it will. It will. And speaking of the Missouri Valley, yep, everybody getting ready to get back into conference play right now. And as far as Mo Valley is concerned, Bradley, Indiana State, Murray State, and Drake, those are your guys at the top. Other than that, it's kind of jumbled going all the way down. And that includes UNI. They're kind of in that jumble. Belmont's in that jumble. Missouri State, Illinois State. So it's going to be fun, I think. Might be just a one-bid league this year with everything that went on in the non-conference, but there are going to be some good games in the Mo Valley.
Yeah, it's really balanced, but it's going to be a one-bid league. Didn't do very good in non-league. The league net usually is around 10 and 11. This year it's 14. That's prior to Drake's big win. They had they actually played this game in Lincoln against Mississippi State. It was ranked 15th. Chris Jans, we had the battle of two guys from a small town Eastern Iowa, Chris Jans from Fairbanks and Darren DeRees from Appleton, went at it in Lincoln, and the Appleton won that contest. So big win for Drake, and it was a big win for the Valley. And I think, Scott, I would throw Southern Illinois in that mix too, along with Drake and Bradley. And Indiana State, definitely a surprise team. They're leading the Valley in points per game, and they're also ranked nationally, top 20 in points per game. So that's a team that's really changed the way that we see teams playing the Valley. They're so much more up-tempo. And what Drake proved to me, beating Mississippi State, they can win slow-down games, they can win fast games, because that's what you have to do. You have to be able to win different styles if you're going to win a league title, whether it's in the Big Ten, Big 12, Valley, or whatever. And I think Drake proved that they can do that with that win over Mississippi State.
With the cancellation of the Omaha game, Iowa State is going to have about 2 weeks off. Hasn't played since the 18th and doesn't play again until New Year's Eve at home against Baylor. This Big 12 is going to be a grind, Kevin, and getting off to a good start might be important for the Cyclones.
Yeah, I saw that, Mark, and that really surprised me and concerns me that they will not play for that length of time. Then you jump right into league play at one of the top teams in the league at Baylor. You've got them at home, but it's just a concern that you don't play that. You don't have outside competition for this Iowa State team. And it's a team that we saw against Iowa. They are offensively challenged. They just haven't had any consistency at the offensive end. Their defense have kept them in games. But that's a concern, and you can't do any scrimmages. They've already used those up, so it's going to be a lot of practice time when they come back from Christmas vacation for the Cyclones. That was a bad scheduling move by Iowa State, and of course the Omaha game canceled because of the weather issue.
Yeah, I thought they might try to get that like Iowa did, move it up a little bit just to get it in due to that big long off time. But did not happen. Maybe Omaha didn't want to play. Who knows? There are a lot of – you got to have a dance partner when it comes to that. But go ahead.
Hey, Scott, how about this game? So Drake plays in Lincoln on Tuesday. I think it was a 4 o'clock tip against Mississippi State. And then they moved that Ambrose – it was an Ambrose game up to 1 o'clock on Thursday. So they jumped on a bus Wednesday night, probably 3 hours back in the morning, got off and ran up a – record at 144 points against the Bees of St. Ambrose with the Bulldogs. So they did like a 20-hour turnaround in that game.
By the way, the butterfly effect helping, Iowa losing to Eastern Illinois does not do Iowa State any favors either, because it drops, Iowa's net down. It drops everything down, and that hurts Iowa State as well. But there's a lot of basketball left. Big 12, I don't think there's any doubt Big 12 is the best conference right now anyway, going into conference play in the country. Kansas, we know what they can do. Saw TCU play Iowa. Baylor is Baylor, and Texas is doing good things. Don't know what's going to happen as far as their coach and coaching staff is concerned. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out. K-State has not played a real tough schedule, but they're 11-1. Oklahoma was struggling early, and Porter Mosier's got them at 9-3 now. This is, my goodness, the Big 12 is good.
Oh, I'm with you 100%. And we talked about that when I was at their media day. They're kind of flexing their chest, pumping their chest out, and flexing their muscles, the Big 12, because they've had a team in the national championship game the last 3 years, going back to Texas Tech in 2019, and then, of course, Baylor and Kansas the last 2 years. So they kind of feel like the metrics have proven that they are the best league. And right now people are saying metric-wise the Big Ten is the second-best team, second-best league. But I don't think there's a dominant team. We'll see how long Purdue can stay at number one. But when you talk about net, I don't know if you guys looked at what happened to Iowa. They dropped from a 27 in the net with this loss to Eastern Illinois to 60. 33-point drop is what hit the Hawkeyes. And I'll tell you what's going to be a problem. If they're a bubble team, this is that bad loss that comes back to haunt you when you're on the bubble in March.
See what you think here, Kevin, about the national landscape. I look at the rankings and I look at the teams, and I think it's pretty deep this year. Purdue's your number one. UConn, look at UConn, number two. But even when you scroll down, you got a UCLA at 13, which, you know, just absolutely buried Maryland. And even others below it that are very capable. What do you think about the national landscape?
I think we're seeing this more and more every year, and we're seeing it because the AP, you know, number one ranking is hard to hold on to. It's a moving target. We had Houston there for a while. We've had a number of teams there. So I think this will be a real interesting year because you get through the grind of your league, whether you're in the SEC, Big 12, Big 10, ACC. You know, North Carolina's a perfect example last year. You know, they were barely able to get into the tournament, and they get the championship game, and team that's struggling right now. It's kind of interesting the way this is happening. But I think you're seeing teams, because of the transfer portal, they're going to blend new players, that it's taking longer now for teams to hit their stride. And, you know, we're still Christmas time, so we've got all these teams are going to rank to ramp up their league games. Some, like the Big Ten and the Valley, have already played games. But a lot of basketball left. And it all comes down to who's playing good when you get into March. UCLA made that run a couple of years ago when they came in as one of the last teams to qualify. And I guess, Mark, we go back to that conversation. Should we expand the tournament? Because there is so much parity in college basketball. So as you say, what say you on that little nugget?
The way it's constructed with all the conference champions getting in and whatnot, it's not the true 68 best anyway. So maybe I'd be more in favor of reconstructing the selection process. I don't know, but I also want to preserve conference champions. So that's a wishy-washy answer, Kevin.
Well, everything in college athletics is changing as we're seeing this year, whether it's name, image, likeness, transfer portal. So don't, and even college football playoffs expanding. So don't be surprised if there's some tweaks and some movement in this field of 68 for college basketball. I just don't think it's going to stay at 68. I think there's more money out there and there's more parity. So there are some teams that may be 500 in their league, in a power league, that can make a run to the championship. Interesting times. I tell you what, fans hate it. You know how many people I ran into this morning, whether I stopped at the laundry, at the grocery store, you know, I was out and about in this cold weather, and they are just fuming about that Eastern Illinois-Iowa game. So, like, in about 3 weeks, when you beat Purdue, you forget all about it.
That's what it's going to take. I'll tell you this, 96, if it goes to 96, that's great, but I don't want to see teams that are in 10th and 11th place in Power 5 conferences get in instead of regular season conference champions. Maybe they let regular season conference champions go in mid-majors as an automatic instead of putting them into the NIT. Then I can live with it. Otherwise, I want to keep it where it is because I don't want to see under 500, you know, Syracuse get in with a 3-13 record in the ACC or something like that.
I think what you're going to see here in the future, and I hope it does not happen, guys. I pray to the Lord it doesn't happen. But I think you're going to see a bigger separation between the Power Six, you know, the Power Fives plus the Big East, and the rest of college basketball because of the transfer portal, because of the ability for them to get in the portal wars and take your best players. We saw it happen in the Valley. There's three guys starting in SEC schools that were Valley players last year, including Noah Carter, who's having a great season for Missouri. That's what's going to happen more and more. So I just think the mid-majors are going to drop off talent-wise because of that factor, unless we put up some sort of more guardrails or something to stop this freedom of movement I think the mid-majors are in trouble in the future. I don't know if you're going to see those 16 and 15 seed wins anymore. It's just an interesting time in college basketball.
It is, and I think you put that very well, Kevin. And there have been coaches and others online that have commented the exact same thing, that in basketball, we've had this happen. It's now going to football in those programs as well. There's teams like Iowa and Iowa State that try to develop 2- and 3-star guys that they find, that no one knows about. Now they're not only worried about keeping them, getting them, but they're worried about others coming in, raiding them after they show what they can do on the field or on the court. So I'm with you, but I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Scott and Mark, I'm going to give you a perfect example. St. Bonaventure comes in there last night. And remember last year, you and I went out there. Bonaventure was ranked top 25.
Yep.
A.J. Green hit 9 threes. The Panthers beat them 90-80. There's 170 points scored in that game. So I did the figures last night in our intro. Bonnie brought back 0 points. 0 points from the 80 they scored. You and I brought back 11. Bowen Bourne had 6 in that game. Henry had 5. But here's what happened to Bonaventure. His complete roster was decimated. Iowa State took two of his players, Jaron Holmes and Oshunini. And then another kid went to Florida, and another kid went to, I believe, Arkansas or Alabama. I think it was Alabama. And then their fifth guy went to he's playing in the G League. So his complete roster got decimated. But before that happened, his guys that were in the wings, that were supposed to be stepping up and playing, they left because they thought all these guys were coming back. And they jumped in the portal, and all of a sudden he had nobody left on his roster. He had completely rebuilt his team. And this is a program like Northern Iowa that was trying to do with red shirts and build their programs with developmental players. So that model, I think, is harder and harder to stick to anymore if you're Ben Jacobson or Coach Smith at St. Bonaventure.
Very true, very true.
When's the Lehman family shoot-around? Are you going to take at bats off Sarah?
Okay, partner, we had it last Saturday on the 17th, and this year we went a 3-on-3 tournament.
With you at the three-point line shooting.
I will tell you guys this, that Shooter, our former sponsor, sacked his team.
Well, that's
he was recruiting Sarah's boyfriend. He was we got to put up some a whole special set of rules just so Shooter Chris Liebman doesn't cheat again next year in the 2023 3-on-3 Classic.
Wow. He went in the transfer portal even affecting the Lehman family shoot around 3-on-3 tournament. So
and he was like, and Chris was like a general manager. He didn't even play. He just sat in the sideline and kept sending people in.
Very good. Two teams, by the way, I'll leave you with this, Kevin. Two teams. Watch for these two, Charleston and Kent State. They are good.
I tell you, I know Matt's got 2 or 3 really good teams. That Toledo team that came and played Northern Iowa was really fun to watch. They played a fast pace and got them down the court. And I've heard good things about Kent State, too.
All right. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, Kevin. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. You have a great Christmas. Hope Santa Claus finds you and you don't get a piece of coal in your stocking like I did.
All right. Thanks. Thank you, Kevin. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us on Thursdays. His appearance is right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Quick break. Come back with a Bowling Night in America wrap-up right after this.
Big fitness.
That's what you get.
Small price.
That's what you want.
So join iGym now and pay no dues till 2023. Plus, sign up for their VIP Plus membership for only $1 down. Work out when and where you want.
With 24/7 access to all iGym locations.
Personal training.
Functional turf space.
Group exercise classes.
Massage chairs.
Infrared saunas.
And so much more.
Sign up now at igymia.com and pay no dues till 2023. iGym. 2 locations in Cedar Rapids and in Tiffin. Big fitness.
Small price.
For people trying to recover from opioid use disorder, it's hard to know where to begin. At iowaopioidhelp.com, you'll find resources near you for proven treatment and a road back to your old self. Because opioid addiction is not a character flaw, it's an illness. If you or a loved one is struggling with opioid use disorder, visit iowaopioidhelp.com today. Start here. Start healing. Sponsored by the Iowa Attorney General's Office and the Iowa Broadcasters Association in cooperation with this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And it was the Bowling Night in America Holiday Week Edition. And this report and wrap-up is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. A merry time had by all last night, and that included our opponents.
Yeah, it started out really good for the Rusty Nails, but then it went sideways, and the Nails lost 18.5 to 11.5 to Grill Works. And if you look at the recap sheet, all five bowlers on Grill Works bowled between a 640 and a 699 series. Very consistent across the board. You tip your hat to Grill Works. No damage done, really, though. The Nails still in third place in the adult Evergreen League.
Who, yeah, there was 9 600s last night. Yeah, I bowled like I start the snowblower.
That's probably on your mind.
Might have been.
Good night for several bowlers. Doug Stein with a perfect game, 300. Max Hyatt close with a 298. Hyatt took high series for the night, 769, followed closely by Wayne Selkin with a 768.
Well done by those all those gentlemen right there. We'll do it again next Wednesday night, and that'll be the final one of 2022 as we're about the halfway mark right now. And thanks to May City Bowl, Mark.
Indeed. The pro shop right now is closed until December 26th, but if you have any other questions, give May City a Bowl call, 362-0136, or you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. 40, love, match point.
Out.
There's no way that was out.
Out. The ball is out. It's out.
Are you even watching?
No, honestly, I'm not. I'm watching college football on my phone with AT&T 5G.
Wow, that's too much.
With AT&T 5G, too much college football is never too much. 5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Dell Technologies' Days of Deals for Business start now with fresh, limited-quantity deals on tech to drive productivity. Save on select performance laptops and desktops powered by 12th-gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL